Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast, and this is our post-Easter podcast. We just had Easter service yesterday. It was a good day. How's your voice?
My voice is good. I'm fortunate. I'm blessed. I have never had to deal with really a lot of voice issues, but I was taught early in ministry you drowned your vocal cords. So I drink a lot of water. And then all Sunday afternoon.
Sweat it out, huh?
Well, I'm not sweating it out, but I'm getting it out all Sunday afternoon. I'm making a lot of trips to the restroom. And it's crazy. As much water as I drink, and I don't know. I don't have to go to the restroom in between services. I don't know. I'm just a freak of nature, my friend. But we're doing this early.
We are.
The big high holy day of Easter, and then
the sun just came up.
We're here early on a Monday morning because of some other scheduling issues with the church, and then Journey, you know, his day job every now and then requires him to have to work. So we come into the studio early because we knew we had some listeners that really wanted to get it a little bit early this week. So
that's right.
Yeah, it was good. It was a great day yesterday. A lot of folks between here and our Windmark Beach campus, and I'll throw out a number and just understand when we're talking numbers like this, it can give or take a couple hundred one way or the other. But based on what I know at Windmark and here, and with all the things that were happening here with children's ministry and everything else, I think easily 6,000. I know you're our number guy in the service, and I'll be curious to see when we get all those in. At the end of the day, you know, 6,000, 5,000, 10,000. I mean, we're just – it's not that, quote, big of a deal. That's not really what motivates us. The reason why we count folks is we try to help us with our planning.
Yeah.
The dynamics of a church – change a little bit when you're talking 500 versus 5,000.
Even in just like doing the invitation to decision, like we'll have a meeting later today just kind of talking about what we can change and what we can do better and how to facilitate some of the flow. And
no doubt. I thought it was hilarious though, because I've got mentors that kind of speak into my life a little bit, and I really had talked to them about, okay, what do we do here? We know we've got to have three Easter services. And the reality is we could have had four. We really could have had four, and it probably would have helped us. Then I wouldn't have helped this old preacher. But, I mean, and it was always, man, just don't go below that 8 o'clock hour. Don't go below that 8 o'clock hour because people won't come. And so we're trying to create space. And we didn't even get the space because, I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect that many people to respond the way they responded during the invitation in that 7:30 service that was packed out.
That was our biggest service.
Yeah. I walk in the room and I'm like, oh, here you go. Why? I mean, I can remember doing that with the 8 o'clock service on special days thinking, nobody's going to be here. And there's no such thing. As I said, you get a bunch of rednecks, man. If they're like, okay, we can do early service, then come home and eat and go fishing in the afternoon, shoot, man, we're down. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of room in any of the services, but even that third service, it was. I think there were more in the third than the second. It's what it looked like to me, but I don't know. Who knows?
It was 100 less in the third service.
Yeah, see, which is shocking to me. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have said that just by eyeballing.
Well, we do have different counters. So,
well, I don't,
that may be, I don't know, part of the situation.
Yeah. And again, it's not imperative that we get it 100% correct. Right. We just, for our own planning, to help us out. But yeah, I'd hate to know I was the one counting because you got movement and you got everything else. So, they had a great day as far as attendance. I haven't heard about anything else over at our Windmark Beach campus.
No issues with weather, I guess?
I guess not. I mean, they do a big thing. And, of course, we wake up this morning and it's 50 degrees.
I know. It's so dumb.
It's 50 degrees. I'm like,
golly, I'm ready for it to get warm. I hate to say that, but I am ready for it to get warm.
Yeah, well, we're going to remember this.
I know.
July roll around.
July, ready for it to get cold.
Did you have to put your doors on your Jeep?
I did because, you know, the chance of rain. And 50 is a little chilly. Riding with no top and no doors, 50 is a little chilly.
Hey, 50 is a little chilly just standing there.
Yeah.
Especially when you're used to living life the way we live life here here on the coast. But I always find it humorous this time of the year. They usually say if you can make it to Easter, that after Easter, you know, the old wives' tale, the farmer's almanac is, you know, you'll be good. But that is truly not the case. But all these people that spend all that money, they're coming down and, I mean, I had kids getting in my pool last week. It was hot last week. And I can promise you this, nobody getting in the pool this morning.
We went to the beach yesterday afternoon, and that water was cold.
Was it?
Still. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, today
didn't
help
swim.
It.
No.
Today didn't help it. So, hey, for our listeners, and I don't know. I'll need to find out when this is going to air, but not this program, but one of my friends, Rick Burgess. I'll be on his show. He does a podcast outside of their normal program where he talks about.
Now you're saying it kind of lightly. This is the Rick and Bubba show.
Well, it's not Bubba. Bubba's not there anymore.
It was formerly the Rick and Bubba show.
Right, and I've been there before. Years ago, and Rick's been here and spoke a few times, and a good guy and stuff. But so he does a podcast separate from the Rick Burgess show, where he talks about spiritual things. And right now they're talking about angels, and so he's aware of my own personal testimony, and so I'll be on there and I'll be talking about what I believe to be an encounter with an angel.
Yeah.
And now you know I'm not gonna stake my salvation
on it,
but I believe it was, and to me, it shows character and nature of God. I mean, I'm not worshiping angels,
sure.
But maybe next week. I don't know. It may even be live. I have no idea. I don't. They may do that thing. Their podcast live. I know the radio show's live, so I'm not exactly sure. But this Thursday, if our folks want to go to their program, go to their website, and pull that thing up and. I'm excited. I probably need to go and listen to one or two of them just to have an idea because Rick sometimes can put you on the hot seat.
He's a fast talker, man.
He is. He is. Yeah.
He'll slip one in on you.
I
got to answer that question.
Well, yeah. I heard my wife say one time, I mean, did you ever dream that the day would come where, you know, you would make a living by talking about nothing? And in a way that only my wife could ask that, you know, his eyes got real big, and I'm like, you do talk a lot about nothing.
Yeah.
He goes, well, yeah, that's true.
We don't talk about nothing here, man. We talk about the truth of Scripture, right, and the unchanging truth of who God is. And it was a good day yesterday, man. It was a
running the race.
Running the race.
Running the race.
And then, I like the way that you did it. I mean, I know that you probably had the audience in mind. You know, we knew we were going to have some people that maybe never attended church or maybe have some questions about church or kind of what we talked about last week and on the podcast, maybe a little apathetic.
You know, our middle school pastor reached out to me last night and, you know, the machine of a big of doing everything that we do on a big, big day like an Easter. Honestly, once I get in it, I there's a lot of things I don't get to see. I don't get to be a part of. Yeah. And but he texted me last night and just said, hey, man, just want you to know there were a lot of people that I'm aware of from the community that were there that were lost. So, man, I just want to, you know, tell you thank you for just being so clear when it comes to the gospel. And so, I tend to look at it that way. I know that there are folks out there that would sit there and say the church doesn't exist for the lost and the church. Ah, man, I just, that's, You'll never get this evangelist heart to disagree or to agree with a comment like that. Yeah. I don't think it has to be either or.
Right.
I think it can be both and. And, you know, one of the things that I challenge our people and I challenge myself, may I never get over the awe and wonder of the fact that he saved me.
Yeah.
May I never get to the point where that's just kind of second nature. And again, as this old farmer, I think I've shared this before, that I heard pray years and years ago in a little bitty country church, Lord, help us to remember what it was like to be lost.
Yeah.
So that's kind of who we are.
Yeah. And, you know, you were able to kind of talk about some of the cultural things that maybe people view the church or even some of the things that, different conversations that you've had in the church that are kind of pulling away from the gospel. But, you were talking clearly about sin and the cross and the resurrection and celebrating what Jesus has done. And, on the third service, I was sitting there, and there's somebody in our family that, I say our family, my wife and I, that we have been kind of talking to, and they were here, and, you know, their son has been saved for a couple of months. Their daughter just came for the first time last week, and so he's sitting up there, and like we were talking back and forth and just praying that he would be one of those ones that came forward. Mm. But I mean, he wasn't at the moment, but we know that the Lord is working, because he told us he would never set foot in our church, and now he's come for several times. So I mean,
in our church, clearly, I guess. Yeah. That was because of you, huh?
Probably, I probably said something to him, but just added to the list, to the list of people. But
that's funny.
He came, and he's been several times.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that I appreciate is, you know, kind of like what Ty was talking about yesterday, like the clear message of the unashamed gospel went forth. And
well,
man, it was just a
Why do anything else?
I know.
Hey, let me get creative. This is the 16th Easter that I've preached here at this church. Let me get really creative. And you follow Paul, arguably the greatest missionary the church has ever known. And I mean, to me, you can make an argument for some other people, but anyway, Paul, he did the same thing.
Yeah,
he would roll into a town. He'd go to a synagogue because those were the ones that knew him. Because that's how he did life as a Jew, and he would go in there and he just, hey, look, let me tell you, he is the Lord, he is the Messiah. We had it wrong. Here's what he has done for me, and then they'd kick him out and try to stone him to death. And but his strategy didn't change. He didn't say, man, like, I got to come up with something different.
Yeah.
To me, we'll never go wrong. If we're gonna err. Let's err on the side of being too gospel-focused.
Well, and I was reading something the other day, just kind of going through a lot of different scriptures over the last several weeks, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he was telling them to—and I've been looking at what Jesus tells his disciples to pray. I know we have the model prayer. He tells them to, praying to flee temptation. But one of the things he tells them to pray earnestly for the harvest.
Mm.
And like any other language that he's never from just the small research that I've done over the last couple of days, that's the only time he's used like this word before. Mm-hmm. Like he's telling them to pray earnestly for the harvest. And I'm like, man, like what Jesus is telling his disciples to do that as they are going out and,
sure. Well, and he dealt with some of the same things with them.
Yeah.
He had an argument, hey, which one of us is going to be staying closer to you in heaven? And
yeah.
All those kinds of things. And to me, what made perfect sense, and if I would have had time, I would have communicated, hey, the reason why Paul is writing this to the church at Corinth is because the church at Corinth, they're having some of these same conversations that we deal with in, quote, the Bible Belt.
Right.
They're a little different because things are a little different in that culture, but they were having these conversations. And nothing wrong. These are some important things. They're just not the most important.
Yeah.
And he's saying, let's get back to the most important.
Yeah.
some of these silly things that we want to worry about. And anyway, it's funny because I'm sitting there and I was talking about clothing because that's been a big one over the years. Maybe not as much anymore, but you know, can a preacher preach a sermon and not be wearing a full suit? And I was one of those guys at the last church I came from, man. You know, I wore a suit all the time and everything. And one month here in the summer, I'm like, way, man. It's 115 degrees. But the context, it was more of a barrier. And and I even made the statement about caps because there was like two guys sitting right from me wearing a cap. And I'm like, at the end of the day, does that matter?
Yeah.
Like, why would somebody get worked up over something like that?
Yeah.
Versus, let's get worked up over the fact that there are people that we could stand, you know, on the sidewalk of this church and throw a rock and hit their house, and if they were to die today, they're going to hell.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, you never go wrong. I know we have a couple of young preacher boys that watch us and listen to us, and I would just say to those guys what I said when I was standing in front of 400+ African pastors this past year, and you know they think that when it comes to church, oh, we're going to look at America, and man, those American pastors know how to do it, and we'll follow the model of the American pastors. And so my advice to them was, hey, I want you to quit doing what some of my American pastor brothers are doing. Quit apologizing for sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because we've all been there. It's like, oh, hey, let me really wade off into this deep, deep theological discussion. And then when it's all said and done, oh, and by the way, Jesus loves you and he'll save you. And and then we're none. That's not my heart, and that's not who we are.
Well, and even tying it all together, you know, you reminded us that, you know, the resurrection or the cross and the resurrection shouldn't be these two separate events. Like, it's this, there's power in both of them. And
yeah, if they're not together,
yeah,
they're null and void.
Yeah. Yeah.
He defeated death, but unfortunately, I've got to pay the price for my sin. Right. Or he paid the price for my sin. The problem is, he couldn't defeat, you know, the result of sin.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, as I was sitting there yesterday, just listening to, again, just this gospel message, like, my heart was, you know, kind of praying for the people. And I know that we had people that had prayed over the room beforehand, but even in that moment, and I think that's just one of the beautiful things of the gospel. Like, it's more than just a moment. Like, it causes for believers, like, it should cause us to have some urgency to pray for those that are lost, to think about, to have those conversations. And in the setting yesterday, you were able to present that, but for us as believers, man, it should cause us to do something.
Well, and it's a little weird, the culture that we live in. First of all, that we would make a statement that somebody is broken. There are some folks that would take high offense to that. Mm-hmm. Who are you to say whether somebody is broken or we talk about individualism a lot within our culture, and you know, man, there's no right or wrong. You know, that's just who they are, and that's just how they live, and that's what they've embraced. And so even those that will make that little journey with you to where they would agree and say, okay, we would agree that, you know, you can be broken. You can, there are things that that are not right within your life, but I you know, I can fix that. Mm. I just got to try harder. That's when we talked about the whole self-help thing and all the money that's being made out there on things that are written, you know, here's how you can fix this. Here's how you can fix that. And please hear me. I'm not discounting those things. I'm saying that anything outside of a surrenderance to Jesus Christ and a love for him and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it may bring a little bit relief and a little bit of solution, but it's not going to bring what is going to be lasting. And so how do you come to the point where, because again, I'm not saying that you say, oh, well, you know what? You just pray about it and you don't have to do anything. Just pray. No, I mean, to me, real faith brings action.
Yeah.
Real faith brings action, but the faith and the object of our faith is what is so key. My faith is in Jesus. Jesus, I've tried to change myself. I can't change myself. It is only through my surrendering to you on a daily basis and being obedient to you that a change is going to occur. Now, it's kind of like the old prayer for revival. You know, the prayer is, hey, Lord, I'm gonna work as hard as I can here on earth as though everything depends upon me, but I'm going to pray down the blessings of heaven because everything ultimately depends upon you. Not in opposition, but in the right order. And so that to me that was the kind of the approach that I wanted to take. Let's talk about things that we really think are important to talk about. And I purposefully, hey, let's talk about those spiritual things. I mean, I didn't talk about some of the silly things that we deal with because we would have been here all day just talking about those things. So I put it in the spiritual arena, just within my world. And ultimately, no, here's the most important. I'm curious as I was developing the sermon, just thinking, I'm curious how many times that we want to, when it comes to someone lost, we want to press upon them our theological issue instead of taking them to the gospel. Hey, I'm going to win them over on the debate of the traditional versus contemporary church, in which I don't even like that terminology because that's going to change from individual to individual. And it's funny, we had a message on our phone system here over the weekend, and I can get those sent emailed to me. I mean, I don't answer the phone or anything like that, but I don't know how I got put on the list when the offices were having to be closed for something, I can't remember. It was during the holidays because between Christmas and New Year's, we'll shut down the church offices, and I just wanted to make sure that something wasn't just missed.
Yeah.
And so anything that is outside of normal hours that, I will get an email and I can listen to that. I mean, 99% of them I don't listen to because we've got people on staff that can handle that much better than I can. And they know kind of the directions to point them to. But I did listen to one, and this is after the sermon was even written. And it was a precious lady. And, hey, I'm new to the area and looking for a church. And one of the most important things to me is I want a church that sings the good old-fashioned hymns. And the exact wording was, and I'm talking about like those hymns from the 1900s. And, not these liberal songs that, started like in the 90s.
Wow.
And again, very, very, very sweet in the conversation that she, I say conversation, very sweet in the message that was left. And hey, and if you are that church and, maybe somebody could call me back, then I could possibly be there in your services on a Sunday. And there's nothing wrong with having an opinion when it comes to that. I always find it interesting that I'll have a deal breaker. When it comes to what kind of church I'm going to attend, what's the deal breaker? Number one, are they true to the gospel? Is that at the forefront of everything that they do? And are they true when it comes to the unchangeable truth of the Word of God?
Yeah.
And now there are some things, the older I've gotten and kind of the way that I've embraced teaching and preaching, I'm probably going to find myself in an expository place. That's just who I am. But that's not a deal breaker.
Right.
That's opinion or that's preference. Same way with the music. It's like I said yesterday morning, because I can't tell you the number of times I've had folks that are like, my kids aren't learning the hymns. I want them to learn the hymns and sing the hymns. And I'm not an anti-hymn guy. I was raised on hymns, man. I'll find myself singing hymns driving down the road. But it's like I said yesterday morning in the service. Well, My prayer's always been that my kids would love Jesus.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me
what
kind of style or beat of the song that they're worshiping him with.
Yeah.
But I just want them to love Jesus.
I got to even think about, even the traditional, it's not traditional, right?
Many of the songs that would be understood as being the traditional songs today, the tune, the music that they were put to were like old bar hymns, not hymns, old bar songs. Yeah. And so they came along and changed it. And, you know, when the Salvation Army came out, one of the biggest things that William Booth was met with is he was kind of the prolific leader in taking some of these barroom songs and changing the words. But, you know, they would come in, they're like, oh, man, I like that. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, no, it's talking about Jesus. And, man, he caught all kinds of grief over stuff like that. And what you want to say is, golly, the things that you're really making as a life or death, this is a deal breaker, a prominent thing. It didn't start out that way. There would have been folks in that day, they're like, we don't like this new stuff.
Yeah.
We hate this new stuff. And I would love to know whether the sweet lady came to our services yesterday, because I can promise you she would not have been happy. But I'm telling you, man,
song was chaotic, man.
Oh my goodness,
it's a good song. It's just chaotic. Yeah. I don't know how they stayed on beat because the tempo was weird. Like, but it was good. I mean, like you said, theologically strong.
Oh, well, gospel focused like crazy. And I'd not heard it until yesterday morning, but then I heard it three straight times.
Like, I like it.
Yeah. And I would even, in that third service, I'm sitting there and, you know, she comes to the end and she, you think it's over and everybody starts clapping and stuff. And I turn to Patrick. I'm like, she got him again.
Yeah.
You know, and then she'd come in there and he's coming back again. And son.
Yeah.
And let's just sing about Jesus, and whether you've got a banjo or you've got a spoons or you've got, you know, you're beatboxing with your own mouth.
Journey's going to beatbox and spoons next week.
Nice.
At the same time.
That'd be great.
I want to kind of close out with, you know, one of the statements that you made, and I thought it was pretty fantastic for all of us just to remember, even for those that are lost. You said the same power, the same supernatural God-saturated power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in those who believe. And, man, it's just a beautiful reminder of the power of who God is and what he's doing and how he works and the opportunities that he grants us through his son Jesus, man. Just a great...
That's pretty amazing. And that was that text Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and you know, really an unreal promise that he makes there, that that same power. And stop and think, the same power that did something that has only been done once and will never I say will never be done again, excuse me, that is an incorrect statement. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Yes. But it has only been done once, and that is he died, he rose again, never to taste death again. That same power is available to all who will believe and come to him. And he wants to do something so powerful and great in your life that it's not going to be contained to this earth.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So that's the reason why we sing praise to him and not praise to ourselves, right?
Yeah. Well, it was a good day, man. Thank you for, as always, being obedient to the gospel, pointing us to the truth of Jesus, and it's a privilege to be on staff here, man. Anyway, thank you for your time. And we thank you for watching and listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.